Well, we're getting toward the holidays here this season, and we're going to talk a little bit about, well, not Thanksgiving. We're going to move ahead one. We're going to talk about what would it be like if you didn't have anything this Christmas? There are many, many folks around the world that do without at Christmas time. Our job is to make sure they don't have to. And we've got a couple of gals in here in the studios with us this morning that are trying to help make that happen today. Michelle Behrens and Stacy Pellett join us here this morning. They are actually with the Evangelical Free Church here in Atlantic, and a group of those folks have gotten trying to get a larger effort together to help out Operation Christmas Child again this year. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
It's pretty easy. You folks both have children.
Absolutely.
We do.
It'd be pretty sad to wake up on Christmas morning and realize your children had nothing to enjoy, nothing to share with anyone else.
It would be a tragedy at my house.
Not only can I not imagine them not waking up, I can't imagine them not even having the hope of having something at Christmas. You know, it's something that they look forward to. So the idea that that's not even an option for them is overwhelming for me too.
Mm-hmm. And take it one step further. I say waking up, we think of rolling out of bed, throwing that comforter off, and stepping on that carpeted floor. None of that even happens with a lot of these folks
That's
that might
right.
be helped by this. So you start to realize how much some people are in need, especially during the holiday season. We start to think about those things. Operation Christmas Child is it's kind of an international effort, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It was started, I think it's 25 years ago.
I think so.
It's the
like
25th
that.
Anniversary. Franklin Graham, who's the son of
Reverend Billy Graham.
There you go. Thank you. Who's 95 this year. And so it's a project that he began and has just grown over the years. And I know that we have been doing it. This is our fourth year of doing this project. So we're excited that it's growing.
And have you had good response from the community in the first 3 years you've done this?
Absolutely. I think we've been astounded. And originally, when Michelle and I first started this, we set a what we thought was a big goal for us, and I think maybe it was like 500 boxes. And last year we took in over 3,000 boxes.
Wow.
And, you know, not just from Atlantic, but from the surrounding communities in Southwest Iowa. But I think, you know, it just shows that people are starting to recognize that it is something they can participate in. And so we're hoping for another really good community turnout this year as well.
And this is a regional effort.
It is a regional effort. So we go all the way. We are what's considered a regional drop-off location, goes all the way from Adele, east of us, up north to Carroll, over west to Council Bluffs, and then down south to Shenandoah, maybe a little bigger, somewhere around there.
Yeah, Shenandoah, Urbandale, Clarinda, there's lots of
Red Oak.
Yep.
Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of communities participate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll bring their boxes to us, and we'll put them in a big semi-trailer and ship them up to the regional packing facility, if you will, up in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Sure. That's a pretty coordinated effort. When you think about it, you're asking folks at home to really pack a small box. But then that becomes many, many small boxes, which becomes large boxes, which becomes huge shipments in different places. And boy, does that light up faces at the holidays.
You know, and I know our families have both done this for many years. Stacy's done it more years than I've done it from her previous church. But last few years, it's just been fun to watch your own kids help pack that box. And I had the opportunity last night to help our youth group pack boxes, and they brought their own money, and there was a little bit of seed money from the church, and we scanned Walmart and Dollar General last night, and just watching those kids put all their goodies together for these children and on the floor, it was just a blast. And the joy and then the inspiration that they give you, it was just amazing. And then they prayed over the boxes as young people for these children, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, kind of the nice part about a project like this is it is real easy to get the children involved. It's always good to have the youngsters understand how fortunate they are. And sometimes we have to do that by making sure they understand how unfortunate others are. Not everyone is put in the great situation that they might be in, and they're able to help. They can pick things out. They can help pack. They can do all those things.
Yeah. Very easily do all those things. And when you start to ask, like when we'll ask our children, what do you want to put in the boxes? They'll start, a lot of times, want to go to their own toy box and say, well, I want to give them one of my tractors, or I want to give them my doll. And so that's also a good lesson to be able to teach. You know, what do we have that we can share? And a lot of times we'll try to go purchase a new item that's similar to what they want to give away, just so that they have something that's clean and new. But I also always ask my children to give something up that's special to them to send to another child somewhere. And then it becomes a little bit of an act of sacrifice, which is a lesson. It's hard to teach children in this day and age who have everything, but it's a good lesson to remind them as soon as you can.
Well, it is a good lesson because we are a selfish society. Let's face it, society is extremely selfish. It's all about what can you do for me these days. So to be able to have an opportunity to teach children firsthand what it means to do for others is really big. You're doing something for others that they absolutely cannot do for themselves in a lot of instances. So you're packing a box. What do you put in the box? What kind of things should folks look for to pack in these shoe boxes?
Well, one of the first things kids always think of, or people think of for children, is a toy. And so, of course, you know, lots of little toys or a stuffed animal are packed in these boxes because we think of something that will bring them joy. But then there are other things, too, that people can bring more of that essential part of the box.
So socks, in our case, our boxes are going to primarily warm climates, so we may not send gloves and hats, but there are, in a lot of cases, you'll have people knitting hats and gloves. We may send underwear, we may send soap. By the way, if you do pack a box with soap, please put it in a little baggie separately, because if you pack candy in there as well, they think candy from the U.S. tastes like soap. So you'll want to package them separately, but soap, toothbrushes, toothpaste, mirrors, combs, things that we can go to the dollar store and purchase for a dollar, which for them is a small fortune, and they really don't even have the infrastructure of stores to go buy that stuff. So anything that's fun that's going to bring joy, you want to do a little bit of that, and then also do a little bit of the essentials as well.
It's interesting. You're talking about some of the things to pack in these boxes, and the first thing that comes to mind for me is these are all things that you probably wouldn't buy for your own children. These are things that they already have every day. They take for granted. You're looking for comfort things, for, you know, things that they can enjoy, not just basic essentials to get by. So it kind of gives you an idea of where this stuff is going.
Oh, absolutely. You know, granted, my mom, I think she always gave us new underwear at Christmas time, but, you know.
Underwear and socks, got to have it.
Everybody gets that.
We all
Christmas.
Need it, but we don't always want it. But, you know, you don't think about how, for some people, this is something that they need. Washcloths was another thing that the kids packed last night, you know, and several packs of those go along. And, you know, a notebook and a pencil or crayons or something that they could, you know, entertain themselves with. And so
playing cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, little games, little toys, things like that.
So. Are there things they should stay away from?
Absolutely.
Yes.
No chocolate, unfortunately, which breaks my heart, but it will melt. And so it has to be hard candy. And then, of course, anything that is associated with a weapon or war, knives, things like that would not be allowed.
Even if they're toys. So no toy guns, no toy knives, no toy little soldiers, things that, you know, we want to play G.I. Joe or, you know, things that we would not think twice about giving our children. In a lot of these countries, all they have known is a war-torn country. And then so you're just...
we're being sensitive to that.
Just trying to, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sure. Well, and I suppose anything that needs electricity.
Yeah.
You have to think about, you know, I was joking earlier. For folks who are familiar with the Duck Dynasty program, I saw a promotional video that they did for Operation Christmas Child, and Alan Robertson, who's the unbearded oldest son, he is a minister, and he's kind of was heading up, he's kind of ahead of this thing. He's helping out quite a bit with publicity and stuff. And they kind of did a joking around thing with Uncle Si, and he was trying to throw in fireworks and all kinds of things that are inappropriate. And one of the things he wanted to throw in were CDs. And he tried to explain to him, well, they can't do that because they don't have electricity, so they don't have CD players. So I guess you need to kind of think about the end product, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to pack these things. Get it done now. Get after it, because the drop-off time's coming real soon.
It is.
It is coming soon. We start accepting drop-offs at our church. Well, you know, you can drop them off anytime if you happen to have them ready, but the official drop-off times start on Monday, November 18th, and we will send the semi out at 5 o'clock on Monday, November 25th, which is the week before Thanksgiving, so we have a little time before people start worrying about stuffing and turkey. It's an opportunity to stuff some boxes and get it up to the church, and there will be people there ready to accept the boxes at any time during any of those days.
And so you're really only looking at about a week thereabouts for drop-off time.
Right. We're there for a week. The main times, like Stacy said, are the churches open, but Monday through Thursday, it's 3 to 7 p.m., so it's afternoon and into the evening. And then Friday, we're 1 to 7, Saturday all day, 9 to 5, and then Sunday after church, 1 o'clock to 4, and then all day Monday, the 25th, from 9 to 5. So,
do you set a goal again this year for it?
We didn't officially.
Let's set one right now.
Okay. Well, we had 3,000 last year. Let's Let's shoot for 4,000. That's
4,000 boxes.
That's pretty ambitious. I was thinking 3,500 was a, was a good jump up there, but that's a good leveling off point.
The people were so wonderful last year that the jump from last year was just amazing. And I just, you know, there, Betty Dory is a city clerk from Cumberland, and she calls me every year, and she calls and says, okay, I've got my clerks, we're ready, we've got our stuff, when is it? So, you know, the word's getting out, and so I really just think that people are going to continue to do this and promote this program. So I think it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's possible too. And if you don't really realize the impact, each shoebox impacts one child. So that's an opportunity to impact 4,000 children somewhere around the world. And it only takes one child to impact another one child, and that is a ripple effect. So if you think that you have to do a bunch, you don't. One makes a big difference just in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, think about the last child in line who comes in right behind that last box going out. You don't want that to happen, do you?
No, you don't.
No. So what we need to do is we need to go out and get a bunch of guys with big feet to donate shoeboxes because yeah. you can put more stuff in them.
That's right.
That is
okay.
true.
Well, there's a thought, too. Very good.
And one along those lines, though, one really easy thing to do is to go to the dollar store and get those plastic totes with the lid, because a lot of times it's a keepsake thing to hold the kids' treasures in. They don't have dressers and little safes and little things that they can do that they can keep their special things in. This maybe is their only opportunity. So you can certainly use a shoebox. There are shoeboxes at our church that you can stop in and get for free. Or if you happen to be and want to get one at the dollar store with a plastic lid, that works just as well too. And one other thing I might notice is it costs about $7 per box to ship each of these overseas. You can include your money with that. If you can't afford the shipping, you know, we will certainly get that taken care of. I wouldn't worry about the shipping. But one thing you can do is go online, OperationChristmasChild.org, I believe it is, and you can pay for the shipping online and sign up for it, and then you print off a barcode. You will get an email when your box has been delivered in whatever country that it's been delivered in. So then you know my box has made the journey, and there's about to be a child somewhere that's going to receive it. And I called my kids over last year. Our boxes happened to wind up last year in India, I believe ours went to. And so I called the kids over and said, look, they arrived. They were so excited. Mommy, when do you think the children are going to get them? Do you think they're going to like it? And we include a letter from our children in the boxes along with their picture. And then you can also put an envelope with your address on there. And if they can in any way afford postage, they might send you a letter back and tell you, I got your box. Thank you. And a little bit about their family. So it's also a neat way to interact with some of these families overseas. But you check it out online, and then you'll be able to find out when your box has arrived, which is really exciting, too.
Just long-distance fellowship.
It is.
And you save the cost of the coffee, too. What a deal. Very good. Operation Christmas Child. If you can help out, they'd sure love to have you. And again, this next Monday, November 18th through November 25th, they'll be collecting those boxes at the Evangelical Free Church here in Atlantic. You can call the church and find out more about times and things, too, if you're not sure. But get that process started. Get the kids involved. Good project. Michelle, Stacy, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.